how do we establish the authenticity of scriptures? Basically, there are three points in this. There is the principle, there is the process, and there is the fruit. Fruit or the result, we could say. Principle is that if we look at the world around us, we see that our basic needs are provided for. We have hunger and food is provided for. We may have to work to acquire it, but our work doesn't produce the food. It only procures the food for us. It is already produced by nature. We breathe and there is already air. We have thirst and there is water. So our basic needs in nature are provided for. Now, one need that is also very important is knowledge. If on someone's birthday, a friend gave you a very complicated machine. You could clearly see that this is really a expensive, complicated machine, and they gave no manual with it. You know, what friend would do something like that? You know, what is the use? If you spend so much money, made such a machine, then they would naturally give something with it to guide it. So like that, we see our body is very complicated. The world is very complicated. Not just complicated in a messy sense. It's complicated also in an organized sense. So, would the same God who has provided us food, light, air, water, heat, if he has provided us all this for living, would he not give us knowledge about the purpose of living? So in principle, it is a logical inference to say that God would give us some knowledge. And that knowledge is what comes to us in the principle of revelation. That is the principle. And the second part is the process. So for example, say if this is a machine I have and this is the manual, this is the book which I have. Now how do I know that this book is the manual for this machine? The one way is that I can basically read the manual and see if first it helps me to make better sense of the machine, and second, if it helps me to work better with the machine. So similarly, we can see if we study the Bhagavad Gita. Does the Bhagavad Gita help us to make better sense of life? Does the Bhagavad Gita help us to respond to life better? Now, everybody is going to face problems in life, but just as you know, no machine is perfect. Every machine has problems. But if you have a manual, then it gives some troubleshooting measures for it. Okay, do this, do this, do this. So like that, we look at the Bhagavad Gita. Does it help us to do troubleshooting better whenever we face problems in life? And if we understand the Bhagavad Gita properly, we will see that it does help us to make better sense, and it does help us to work better. And this is the process. How do I normally check whether a book is a manual? By using it. Similarly, if we use the Bhagavad Gita, we can see for ourselves that this does make a difference. Now, one advantage which we have over other religions, we are not in the competition over here, but other religions claim that their way is the only way. That their book is the only book. But the Bhagavad Gita doesn't claim like that. Our tradition says that the same God can give His wisdom and His grace in many ways. So, it is not that, if we once look at the principle that God will give knowledge to enlighten us, yes, He can give it in many ways. And now, of course, not all manuals are equally relevant. Sometimes some manuals may be for an older version of a machine. Sometimes maybe for a different country, the same manual might work, might be told in a different way. So like that, there are variations. But the principle is there and there is process. And then we look at the fruit. The fruit is that it's related to the process itself. But actually, the Bhagavad Gita is not just a manual for doing things in the outer world. It is actually meant for doing things in the inner world. We say science can make things better. Scripture can make people better. Science cannot make people better. Now, if there is somebody short-tempered, science cannot say, take this pill and your anger will go away. You know, you can give a pill which can make the person go to sleep. But when they wake up, all the anger is still there. It's not so simple. But as of course, they can give some chemicals by which temporarily the brain's behavior may be suppressed. But that is not the cure. It's a suppression. Whereas there is purification that can happen by the scripture guideline. So that in that sense, just as we have knowledge for dealing with the outer world, we need knowledge for dealing with the inner world. And when we see that the Bhagavad Gita does help us to reform ourselves internally, then we again get that deepened conviction. So rather than in today's age, approaching with scripture as the absolute authority of God, the infallible word of God, rather than presenting scripture that way, we can present scripture as a experiential way for self-transformation. You experience yourself and you will see the transformation that happens in your life. And actually that is also Krishna's approach. Krishna says, Vimrishyaita dasheshena yathechitta kuru. In 18.63 in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, now deliberate deeply and decide what you want to do. So, Krishna is not a God who gives commandments. Do this, don't do this. Krishna says, Krishna is a God who gives choices. Gives choices and tells consequences. And then he appeals to our intelligence. So he's saying, deliberate deeply and decide what you want to do. That means, use your intelligence and decide what you want to do. That means, you have your independence. Use your independence wisely. So, by understanding the principle that God will give us, then one of the needs for living, that is knowledge. And by looking at the process of checking how whether a manual helps us to make better sense of the device and better use it better. And thirdly, recognizing that this provides a fruit that nothing else can provide. Other sources of knowledge can help us to improve the outer world. But this is a source of knowledge that can transform our inner world. By that we can establish the value of scripture. And this is a pragmatic way. We don't have to necessarily prove that every single word in scripture has been written, has been spoken by God, and that's how it is. That is very difficult to prove. But we can establish through a chain of inferences that scripture offers us very valuable knowledge. And as people practice bhakti, as people develop their devotion for Krishna, then their faith in scripture will also increase more and more. Okay? Thank you.
In a similar line,